Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, 8:30 to 9. You know, it is the spiritual breakfast, and in this period, we have our guests. So this day, alhamdulillah, we have Brother Imran Khan, and we had him, alhamdulillah, last week as well. That topic was how to, after a person accepts Islam, now to maintain that person's Islam, to assist them wherever they need, and what other steps. So we spoke about that last week. This week, we're going to focus on what other steps when giving dawah. So let's welcome Brother Imran Khan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all is well. How is everything on your side?
Alhamdulillah.
So today is the 14th of Rajab, 1446. And alhamdulillah, we see that many people are finding difficulty in this, where we find our approach to even begin or initiate a discussion to people or inviting people to Islam. So perhaps, Brother Imran Khan, you can just give us a few steps. Before that, before we go to that, have you ever been confused with Brother Imran Khan of Pakistan? Because many people are like, you got Brother Imran Khan from Pakistan. No, not that. This is from South Africa.
Yes, I have. I'll just give you a 1 minute quick funny story. So, I was invited for a program, cataract. We were doing, there's an organization that's for the cataract treatments for people, you know. And they were inviting some people from the Pakistani consulate of South Africa to attend. And there was this brother from Okaf, I think it was. And, you know, he saw the guest list and he saw Imran Khan. And I was like,
we have to go.
You know, so when I met him and I told him, so anyway, that was on a lighter note. But, straight into the topic. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, an rasulillah. Pertinent question, my brother. And very, very, you know, I mean, realistic, you know. I mean, people generally want to know how do they start off the conversation. People, like, you know, you find amongst the ummah, many sincere brothers and sisters that, you know, want to give da'wah. And one of the questions that comes up a lot is, you know, how do I start? You know, what do I do? What is my beginning point? You know, and that's the important thing, because once you've got the start, then after that, you know, you're able to move forward. But sometimes that start can be very, like, you know, a person can be very intimidated what to do. And the first thing I'll say to my brothers and sisters is that, you know what? Don't feel shy. Break the shyness. You know, don't worry about what people think or may think, or who's watching, whatever the case is. Just worry that, you know what, how, what does Allah SWT think of me? What does Allah SWT want of me? How do I, you know, want to present myself on the day of Qiyamah in a court of Allah SWT? What did I do in this dunya? So just remember that, break your shyness, and just, you know, put Allah SWT in front of you. And I would say that will be your starting point. And what words to use? I would say, learn how to greet a person in their language. Or if a person speaks English, look, in South Africa, most of the time, you know, you meet people that English is actually not their mother tongue. Yes, they were taught English in school, etc. and that. But largely in South Africa, you've got Zulu, Sotho, Xhosa, Afrikaans, Chichewa, you know, the different languages. And you'll be surprised to know that English is actually, you know, it's not one of the main ones, from my experience, you know. So I would say, learn how to greet a person in their language, you know. So for example, Njani, Sanbonani, Dumelani, Khuyamora, Uhanat, Komusta, you know, depending on the Murubanchi, etc. And this is a nice icebreaker. This is a nice way to start. Because as soon as, you know, you've spoken to a person in their language, it sort of creates that feeling of warmth. And, you know, the person is more receptive. And then that's the way I would say, you know, for a person to start with regard to what you mentioned, Maulana.
There's important points you mentioned there as well, and that could have a discussion on its own. And that is where we're losing our identity. We'll just highlight a few where you said about that there's so many languages out there which we, I know in school when we were there in Wendywood Primary School, Wendywood, more in primary school we did it. High school as well we did it. So there was a subject, Zulu. And strange enough, we had a white teacher teaching us Zulu. And he had, I remember his name also, Mr. Fanny Kerk. So but he married a lady who spoke Zulu. So he because he's now, it's same with us. If you take English, because we learned how to speak it, we didn't really learn the actual grammar. We're not saying something because it's based on a rule of grammar. It's just we learned how to speak it, that's all. And because when you're a new learner of a new language, you go into the details why this is like this. So you, on that basis, a person who doesn't know the language and then learns it, he may be more equipped to teach it. So I guess that's why they put him there. But here's the irony of it. We had a business economics teacher. His name, he was a white person, but his name was Mr. Swart. So Swart means... So anyway, this way we're losing our culture, we are losing, and we just because now English has been spread to so many, so also to embrace these languages as well to learn these languages, how important that is, and that's the point you raise there, where we interested in everything else, but here for the purpose of Deen, a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he goes and learns Ibraniya and there Hebrew, and there he learns it. And in such a short period of time, they say half a month or so, and he learns it and becomes a master in it, and then he serves as a spy for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So utilizing this year for a great purpose, the greater purpose. I was seeing yesterday, in fact, there's many books like this, where we see there are people of the other. They are not a Muslim, but they come across as they got Muslim names and everything. But they are not Muslim. They translate our books, and we rely on those books then to understand our kitabs. And then we find all this infiltration because we haven't taken the initiative. But leave that aside. That's a topic on its own. Mm-hmm. Here, the learning of the local languages and taking out the time for greater purpose to give dawah, that is something that is... something. Have you learned any languages other than?
Alhamdulillah, most of my dawah, I think the basis revolves around languages, and Allah's honored me and blessed me with learning of the languages. I don't know the full languages, but this is the sunnah of the Anbiya al-Islam. You know, whenever the Anbiya was sent, they went with the language of the people so they could speak. The languages of the people, and then, people understand your message more clearly, and they're able to, understand what message you're giving them. So, for example, I'll share some stories with you right now, show you how effective languages are. So, a few years ago, I went to buy some painting poisons. So these are like real stories of my, personal life, and inshallah people can relate to it because it's in and around our areas as well. And it's possibility that happened to us on a daily basis. So for I was, this is also quite a funny story. So then I went to buy some paint. We were busy painting someplace. So I went to a place in Boysons, and I was standing in the line, waiting for my turn to get to the front. And now this is another point that is all discussion on its own, is that, we've got so much of free time and so much time where we can utilize, to recite Quran, to invite people to Islam, etc. Sometimes just standing in a line, playing on a phone, or just doing nothing, it's just a total waste in this limited life that we have. So I was standing in the line, and there was this brother that was, in front of me. And sometimes the style that I use is, I greet a person, if I may know their language, I may greet them in their language. So sometimes I ask them, what language do you speak? And in a nice way, So my brother, how are you, whatever the case is, and this brother was like, very angry, and he wasn't very receptive. And, you know, he like just sort of brushed me off. And then I started, you know, for a second time. And my brother, how are you, you know? And, you know, he sort of, I think, replied to me. And I asked him, my brother, what language do you speak, you know? And this time he like sort of brushed me off again. Now it's like this uneasy feeling, you know? Because, you know, like you're standing next to a person now and you try to initiate the conversation, you know? And the person just brushed you off. And then I said, okay, now what you going to do, you know, in this awkward moment? So I said, let me try again, you know. My brother, please, man, tell me, what language do you speak? Oh, this time he got so angry. This guy, he turned around and he says, I speak Nigerian. Do you know Nigerian? And alhamdulillah, Allah has honored me and blessed me. I can speak a few words of the Nigerian languages. And so I spoke to him. And let me fast forward till when he got to the front of the shop, you know, the where you order or you inquire about the prices, etc. He goes to the front of the shop and he turns around to me and he points in front, showing the staff of the shop. He says, you see that guy, he knows my language. You see, so it has like, it has this deep effect. People, when you use languages, right, I mean, it really gets down to the heart of a person, you know, and the person now, all of those barriers are sort of broken. And one of the most effective ways I've learned of Dawah, alhamdulillah, and I've used, and I find it still to be very effective, is translating the Adhan. I mentioned previously, you know, on our last show. So just the initial Allahu Akbar, right? And I'll give you an example. Right, just and I like to sort of say it in the tune, but in the language of the person, you know. So, for example, you know, if I had to meet somebody who's Zulu speaking, you know, and then I would say, you know, my brother, did you hear or do you hear Allahu Akbar? And the person would say, yes, yes, you know, I stay right by the mosque or the masjid. Or on my way in the morning, you know, in the taxi on the way to work, I hear it. And, oh, you know what? That is my alarm clock. And then you ask, you know, my brother, my sister, do you know what that means? And sadly, you know, like 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, people would say, no, I don't know what it means. And then you ask my brother, my sister, how long have you been listening to this? To this call, you know, and they say 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and that's really heartbreaking because, you know, a person that stays like sometimes opposite the masjid, listening to the adhan all the time, doesn't know the basic meaning of what Allahu Akbar means. And that's, you know, on our part, it's difficult because, I mean, we've not taken the message to the non-Muslims. So, getting back onto asking the brother or sister, do you know what it means? And they say, no. And say, okay, can I translate for you, inshallah? And then I will go, Allahu Akbar, Nkulu Kulu Nkulu. So that's in Zulu. And the person's like, wow, is that really what it means? You made my day. Today you made my day. I mean, you know, and this is the sort of reactions you get from people with a simple translation of what Adhan means. And just the first few words, Allahu Akbar. I'll share with you an incident what happened with the specific thing. I have witnessed in Johannesburg, and a couple came through. And, you know, I greeted them in their language to share the message of Islam with them. Because, you know, we should, even our businesses, our surgeries, etc., we shouldn't just limit it to our interaction on business or client or patient, whatever. We should also share with them the message of Islam in whichever way we can. So, you know, I think it was a Xhosa-speaking lady. And her husband was Zulu speaking, you know. So greeted them in their languages, respectively. And they were quite, like, you know, taken back and quite appreciative of it. And then, you know, I did the translation of the call. And subhanAllah, the sister started crying, you know. And that, like, was late. I mean, imagine if the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just hearing Allah's name, you know, a person knows what it means and they start crying. I mean, you think to yourself how sincere are people sincerely looking for the deen of Islam and how much work do we have. So that's with regard to the language is my problem.
Important points there, and pertinent as well. Nice to hear you speaking another language. We wish we could hear other words as well. Maybe you can teach us a little bit as well. So how do you go about doing this? That's the question. So do you choose a random language and do you learn like basic words, basic communication sentences, or how do you do it?
In my personal experience, the best way to learn a language, inshallah, I'll go with a few, I'll go through a few with you, but we can do, of course, at a later time, inshallah. But the best way that I've learned how to learn languages is to learn it from the people that speak it, from the people that you interact with. So sometimes, you know, people you work with, friends, colleagues, I mean, you know, kids that in school, example, they can maybe learn from fellow learners or, you know, you meet your neighbors, whatever the case is, you know. Learn the basics. Learn how to greet a person. First start with the greeting. And then inshallah you can grow. When you learn from a person who speaks the language, then as opposed to learning from a book or you know, whatever the case is, then you learn how to pronounce the words correctly. And in your pronunciation and that, you know, people really appreciate this. They really, really appreciate it. That one, you're making that effort to learn the language, and two, you're pronouncing the letter, you're pronouncing the words correctly. It really, really touches their hearts. So, for example, like, you know, if you had to go in, so I try in different languages. So let's go with Sotho, Tswana, Pedi. So, Allahu Akbar, Modimo Mogolo. And then the famous one is Tsonga, which is even amongst the local people, this is sometimes a difficult language. But if you learn, it's easy, not if you really want to learn it. But Allah SWT has helped you able to do it. You know, your person has to have the love of it and want to do it, and Allah SWT will make it possible, inshallah. So, Allahu Akbar, Shikwembu Shikulu. That's Tsonga. And people like, I promise you, the reactions that you get from people, they're like, you know, you made my, I forgot to tell you that you made their day. Or, you know, they tell you, I can listen to you the whole day. Or please tell me more, you know. I mean, so these languages are very, very important. And I'm going to share one with you now. This is something that I've just learned recently. But you know what? If anybody can do it, anybody can do it. You just have to really want to do it and make that effort, inshallah, you'll be able to do it. So, we have a lot of Chinese people in the country as well, right? Non-Muslim. And this is like an untouched market because who's giving them dawah? And we need to invite anyone and everyone to Islam, right? So, bear with me, right? This is quite a tricky one, but because Chinese, the language of Chinese is like something very, very different. But if you want to, you can learn it, inshallah. So, Allahu Akbar, Shangdi Shizui Wai Dada. And that's how you would say it in Chinese. So, you know, I'm not saying learn the entire, look, if you're able to, mashallah, people can become, I mean, you know, they can do, like, they're able to have these masters and diplomas and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, if a person can do spend so much of time and do all of that to learn a few words of a different language in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a difficult thing if a person wants to.
I'm not Chinese, but when you said that, it really sounded nice, like, because you got the pronunciation correct. So, did you approach a Chinese person and say, can you translate this for me? Because you said learn it from people. So,
yes.
Okay.
So, I how do you say it? How do you say this in your language? So, the basic greeting would be ni hao, you know? And then, you know,
just say it one more time again so we can.
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Ni hao is how you know, you greet a person. Like, how are you? Like, you know.
No,
you know.
The Allahu Akbar.
Oh, Allahu Akbar. Sorry, Maaf. So, Shangdi Shizui Wei Dada. So
wait, let me just type this out. Shangdi
Shizui.
Shudji.
It's a bit difficult. Shizui Wei Dada.
Shudvi.
Shudvi. Shudvi. Look, it's difficult to get it on the first time. This obviously it does take a lot of practice in it. So look, another way is Google Translate. Right, that's like a shortcut. But that shouldn't. You should. Person shouldn't rely on that.
But I find even sometimes it's okay. Maybe not with Google Translate, but when you're using GPS, like when I was coming there to North Cliff, certain roads, that lady can't pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. They'll say even Vereeniging, they won't say Vereeniging or something like that. So it's
you know
like
the Pakistani version, eh?
No.
Vereeniging.
Vereeniging.
People really think, you know, for coming newly from Pakistan, they really think that Farina Khan is a place in Jammu. Seriously.
So that's probably one of the sites which they have to see, who's this Farina Khan.
I mean, when it comes, so yeah, there was a person who was like, you know, told me that, you know, they grew up, you know, the parents are from Pakistan and they grew up hearing Farina Khan, Farina Khan. And so one day they saw the sign Farina Khan and like, what? So, yeah. So yes, you can maybe use it as, you know, part of your study, you know, but don't rely on it. Rely on people that actually speak the language. Mm. Mm. You know, and go, and people are, you speak to a person, people are not shy. If people want to share with you, they'll give you the time. In my honest opinion, and I'm on the ground, you know, without Sakhar, without Post and Pride, alhamdulillah, I've met thousands and thousands of people. People are sincerely ready to listen to you and to interact with you and open about Islam. Maybe they won't become Muslim, right? Okay, but they'll give you that time, that hearing to listen to you and the message of Allah SWT and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, you know, the way to enter the heart, inshallah, is through the languages.
Hmm. So, just to wrap up, we've got the last few minutes, inshallah.
So,
about 6 minutes. So, you mentioned the few, like the language that's highly important in all of this. But do you also look at what religion that person follows? And then do you have to also have, because this is also an effective method, but I guess it does have, you've got to do your research properly in all of this here. Comparative studies. So when you see this is Islam, this is what you say. This is what, like this morning we saw in that place, it's called the Ganges River, I think it's in India, that's how you pronounce it. So it's a big river, it extends towards Bangladesh, it's the third largest river in the world. So they're having a major event there, this is in India. So there's tens of millions of people going there and that. And I said this just now to our Mufti who came on with us, also Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, that look at how Allah has favored us. We could have been part of this naked men jumping into a river with ash. It's just, it doesn't have a purpose. Here you take a ghusl, it's to cleanse yourself. It has so many benefits. This codified from top to bottom, what you should do, everything, how you should wash yourself. And this year we're not embracing full, wholeheartedly. So my question here is then, do you have to also, in just for the basic person, I'm saying not for all scholars, on for the basic person, does he also have to have like a, perhaps you have some handbook or something which you can refer to, and there you just see, okay, when you're engaging with a Jewish person, then you can raise these points in case he counter attacks or counter responds to your argument. How does this all work?
So my style and my approach is very, I would say, definite with regard to maybe, you know, what we've seen previously. And may Allah reward those brothers, you know, that are trying, and anybody that is trying, and may Allah guide us toward that which is, you know, most beneficial. Personally, I try to avoid talking about the Bible and quoting texts from the Bible. Yes, when there is the need that arises, you know, and you've got some, like you mentioned, you've got like a scholar in there thing and somebody who's more learned than that, and they bring up the Bible, then, you know, you'll be able to then, you know, challenge the person and go into it. But the average person doesn't even read the Bible. Sufficient for us to talk about Allah and His Rasul, to recite Quran, to invite the person to Islam, this will have a greater effect and has had a greater effect. when you talk to a person and recite Quran, recite Surah Fatiha, give them the meaning, you know, it comes with so much of nur and barakah, and you know, it gives the da'wah so much more effectiveness. And I've noticed sometimes, you know, when you go with regards, you know, people say your Bible says this, and start attacking the Bible and things like that, then person gets defensive, and then there's so much of tension that's created, and you know, it's hardly likely for the person. Then you do have cases where people then, you know, accept Islam and are receptive. But in my honest experience and opinion, I've seen that people are generally pushed away and becomes, you know, this unnecessary tension and that. Yes, there is a place for it, you know, for you have those certain people that are obviously missionaries and they trained in this and that. So, but the average person, which is like over 90% of the population, you know, I would say just, you know, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite Quran, and, you know, and that will flow. And yes, in certain cases, you do need to know the basics. You know, if you're speaking to a Christian, you know, then you concentrate on speaking about Isa alayhi salam because it is close to his heart. And when you're speaking to a Jewish person, with regard to Hikmah, don't mention Isa alayhi salam initially. You know, maybe later on you can mention Isa alayhi salam, but maybe talk more about Musa alayhi salam. So these are a few, you know, things that a person should try and learn. But as you go along, you know, you pick up slowly as you go along.
Important points as well from that perspective as well that you shouldn't get to, because the general person, I met one brother, I was going for my renewal of my license disc, and he saw me and I could see he's like interested, so he asked me a question. He said, where you purchase this dress from? I need it. I said, did you accept Islam or what's the reason? So he said, no, he's going for some religious festival or something, and they are required to dress like this. A local brother, African. So then speaking to him, then I realized that he's searching for something, and he's just going for this also because he thinks this is right. So then we gave him certain tips and we introduced Islam as well, all of that. And he then, one of the other things he mentioned, because I said, okay, you're living with a woman, do you know Islam's, when you marry someone, it's not so costly. For Labola and all of this, many people don't get married because it's so expensive. So I said, on this basis, see how easy it is. We make it easy. Even what you're seeing the Muslims do, that's not Islam. That does not mean it's Islam, where they're having all these, you know, these millions and millions of rands of weddings, it's squandered in this and that. That's not Islam. Islam is simple. But we've lost our Islamic teachings. We have it protected, but we in our hearts, we've lost it. So to go back to that as well, then he was interested. So like I'm saying, and you are saying as well, that to know that basics, that is at least important. And last week also you mentioned about that sign outside, and we spoke about that basics. I'm speaking about Isa, and you, of course, you're going to use Jesus when you say to them because they understand it. And the Quran Sharif, you said also, I'll just mention this, which happened, personal experiences. And that's what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Laysal Khabru Kal Mu'ayana. There's no news like eyewitness news. That's where they took this from, eyewitness news. There's no news. When you witness something yourself, nothing can explain it. So we were here that time, this Genesis here, it was just there close to the zoo lake. So we were there, and for the whole birthing procedure, etc. So there was this Jewish nurse there, and you know, we play Surah Maryam. So my family was listening to it, and this Jewish, imagine, came there, and she's saying, what is this that's playing? It sounds so beautiful. Can you please send it to me? So we said, so my wife said, no problem, we'll send it to you. So she sent it. So normally we just get something or we send something and it passes by or people forget about it. Few months later, she messaged back to my family and said to them that, you know what, that which you sent to me, Surah Maryam and this chapter, can you please resend it to me, because every day I listen to it and now something has happened to my phone, we lost everything. So can you please send? I mean, imagine, it softened the heart of a Jewish female. Quran says laysu sawa, they're all not the same. So like this, as you've mentioned, Quran Sharif, the basics, getting involved, but getting in touch also with our deen. Inshallah, we will have another segment as well. Brother Imran Khan, in your closing words.
One last thing I'd like to touch on, inshallah, is with regard to inviting people. You know, and this we always hear, the character, you know. And your character has to be of, you know, a very great level. And it's very important because your character can sometimes push a person away or draw them closer to Islam, you know. And a person should always be conscious of their character because they are examples of, you know, they're ambassadors of Islam. We are ambassadors of Islam. And how you treat people and how you interact people with people, you know, plays a very great effect. Because people sometimes, you know, they look at us, you know, and that's what information they have of Islam. Because, I mean, they don't read the Quran and, you know, they don't read the Hadith of Musa. So they see us. So we should, you know, try and be good characters, good examples, you know. Watch what you're saying, watch what you're doing. You know, you are an ambassador. People are looking at you. The spotlight is on you, you know. And in my opinion, people are sincerely searching for Islam. They have that, like you mentioned last time, with regard to how, you know, when the riots were taking place and how charitable the Muslim Ummah was and how, you know, people look at that and they appreciate it, you know. So we should add to that, so that they appreciate it more and not push them away. So how we treat our staff, how we, you know, interact with people, etc. You know, you see just like somebody, you're at the shop, you're buying your groceries, you're spending, you know, $1,000, $2,000, whatever the case is. You see mama or papa coming behind you, putting together those rands and cents just to try to buy that meal or that sugar or something. You know, if you had to say, mama, baba, just put it on my groceries, don't worry, you know. I mean, that beautiful character, that akhlaq, that charitableness won't really make much of a difference on our pocket, but it has a great, great effect. But one last comment I'd like to leave you with is that, you know, together with character, sometimes, and a lot of times, you have to complete the job with giving the message. Because sometimes good character alone, sometimes you may find people say, you know, it's only your character. It's only your character.
Yes.
It's not only your character. It works together with giving the message also a lot of the times. For example, you know, there was this doctor. What an a Muslim doctor. What an amazing guy. What beautiful character. After he had finished with one patient, he was so kind to the patient and he was really showed all the akhlaq that a Muslim should have. And then the patient said that, wow, you got such beautiful character, you know. I wish you believed that Jesus died for your sins. So the thing is, you know, we have to be to ask, not at all. We need to call, you know, people to Islam and not the other way around. Because sometimes if you show that beautiful character in that and the person doesn't know that you are a Muslim and this is what you stand for, then, I mean, they're calling us to falsehood, you know, and it should be the other way around. So just a point to ponder on us. We went a few minutes extra. But JazakAllah
for having me. Appreciate that for your time and your lessons as well and experiences. Make dua for us as well. We'll inshallah meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
It was Brother Imran Khan and of South Africa, and inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.